title. What would you choose? I'm going to kind of come at you this morning through the side door. So everybody just kind of hang in there, pay attention, and let's see if this thing works today. Amen?
Amen.
I want to get started with a fictitious story. And it involves all of you. You're out for a walk one day. And on this particular day, you decide to walk through the woods. Path you don't normally take. You just want to change it up a little bit. So you're deeper now, deeper still into the woods. And as you look ahead, you see something leaning against the base of a tree. Well, you walk up to the base of the tree, and you take a good look at it, and it's an Aladdin's lamp. It's an Aladdin's lamp. So you pick it up, and you dust off some of the dirt, and you dust off some of the leaves, and all of a sudden, poof, there's the genie. I told you it was a fictitious story, man. The genie pops up, and the genie says to you, you've got one wish and one wish only. What is your wish? What way to choose? Now, at first, you're maybe surprised and you're intrigued, and you're thinking yourself to be pretty clever right about now, and so trying to outsmart the genie, you would say, well, I wish for all the wishes I want. The genie looks at you and says, do you know how many times I've heard that before? It is not going to happen. You've got one wish and one wish only. What is your wish? What would you choose? Would you choose good health and long life for you and your family? Would you choose fame? That suddenly everybody knows you. You're famous. Everybody thinks you are great. Would you choose fortune? All the wealth, all the money, all the riches you could ever hope to have are at your disposal. Or would you rather move into more of a global direction? And by that I mean, you would choose to end world hunger. Maybe every nation, every country would begin to live in peace with one another. They would work harmoniously with one another. And you know what, if you stop and think about that, that just might take care of world hunger, huh? Along with so many other things. Would you perhaps wish for a cure for things like cancer, ALS? Or, and this may surprise you a little bit, would you choose wisdom? Would you choose wisdom? Well, Pastor Mac, wisdom seems to pale in light of the new things you suggested. Maybe not. Maybe wisdom is exactly what the Lord God Almighty would have us choose. So right now we're moving from that fictitious situation to nonfiction. Now we're moving to the Word of God. And aren't you glad that the Word of God is true? Amen?
Amen.
That the Word of God is God's Word. And as it has, it will continue to stand the test of time. But what I'm about to share with you has a little similarity to what I've just shared with you. You see, the Lord God is having a conversation with a young man. And this young man's name is Solomon. And the Lord God says to Solomon, what do you want? I'll give it to you. And you know what he chose? He chose wisdom. Solomon chose wisdom. Why did he choose wisdom? Didn't he already have a little bit of wisdom? I mean, I think it was wisdom for him to choose wisdom. That shows that he's wise to some degree. But let's remember, his father was David. He was a good shepherd. He was strong and courageous. He was the one who defeated Goliath. David, Solomon's father, served as king of Israel for 40 years. 40 years. So during that time, we can just about imagine how Solomon had to have grown in wisdom a little bit, just having a father like that. Perhaps he was around high-ranking officers and officials. Perhaps he was privy to hearing some very important decisions being made, some tactical solutions that were needed, as David often fought in different skirmishes and battles. I think one of the biggest reasons why Solomon chose wisdom is because he wanted to have the same relationship, if not greater, than the relationship that his father David had with God. Let's remember that David had a heart after God. Let's remember that it was David's goal to make God great, not for David to be great. And Solomon learned from David that his father needed God every day and every step of the way in order to love him the way he could, to lead the way he could, to be the man God had called him to be. He needed wisdom. He needed God. And guess what? Solomon knew that he needed that too. Well, we're going to take you into Scripture for just a minute. The book of 1 Kings. And if you don't mind me saying this, we're going to do a little righteous eavesdropping right now, okay? We're going to listen to the conversation between Solomon and God and God and Solomon. Listen to what happens. Don't miss this word, because it's the word that brings life, brings power, and sustainment for us. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Wow. Wow. What would you choose? What would you choose? Perhaps you wouldn't choose wisdom at first. Perhaps that wouldn't even be on your radar. Because we're thinking so often about the needs of this life, the needs that we have, rather than the needs that God wants us to have, and how he wants us to love and serve other people. I love this question. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. This is Solomon's answer. You ready to get the answer? You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son, he's talking about himself now, to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. So listen to what Solomon says. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. What's he saying there? It's humility. He's submissive. He's saying, God, I can't do this work. I can't handle this responsibility without your heart and without your word first in my life. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. That's Solomon's way of saying, God, I can't handle it without you. I wonder how often we go about living our lives and we just try to handle it on our own. I wonder how we have ups and downs and all arounds in our life, and we just agonize and we strategize beyond hitting our knees and just spending time with God and saying, what say you? You're the king of my heart. You lead on. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish, listen to this, between right and wrong. What are the difference between good and evil? For who's able to govern this great people of yours? Solomon knew who he was, and he knew who God was. And he was asking God for wisdom. He was asking God for leadership over his heart so he could lead others. Isn't that a wonderful response on behalf of Solomon? When I read that, I'm going, oh, if God would have asked me that question, I would love to be able to respond that way. Now, was the Lord pleased with Solomon's response? What do you think? You better believe he was. Listen to how the Lord responds to what Solomon said. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for a long life or wealth for yourself, on my behalf, I wonder how many of us would have gotten that first and chosen that first. Isn't that interesting how God clears that up today? Since you have asked for this, and not for a long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administrating justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart. A wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. Listen to this, I'm going to give you what you have asked for. I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your life you will have no equal among you. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David, your father, did, I will give you a long life. Pastor, if you do me a favor, you just turn my mic down a little bit. I'll get a little bit back here. Thank you. Why do you suppose God would give him these other things beyond what he was really seeking, and that's wisdom? Why would God give him some more? Because God saw his heart. God knew that he could trust Solomon. God knew that Solomon was not making life about Solomon, but about God. And that he wanted God to lead. He wanted God to be first. Absolutely fantastic on Solomon's part. But really, Solomon can't take a lot of credit. It was God's work within Solomon. And Solomon being open to that word, having been witnessed to by the relationship again that David had with God. Have you ever heard about the message? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You ever heard that? You heard that, say amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. David served as king for 40 years. Solomon was just getting started at the age of 20 years old, and he would serve for 40 years, 80 years old. Oftentimes, those 80 years within Israel are thought to be the golden years of leadership. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And as Solomon was just starting out, as he was just beginning, he knew he needed all the help he could possibly get. You know what the biblical definition of fear is? It's reverence. It's respect. It's honor. It's submission. It's putting God first in absolutely everything. Really, the biblical definition for fear is love of God. We even have a commandment that speaks of that, don't we? I shall have no other gods before me. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. God here first. God here first. And I love this about Solomon. He fully realized if he was going to sit on the throne of Israel, he needed God instead of the throne of his heart. So as to lead him, and again, so he could lead other people. Wisdom is God first. Wisdom is God first in all things. My friends and friends, do not be confused. Wisdom is not so much knowledge and intellect and experience. Definitely not apart from God. The word of the Lord says about those things that man's wisdom is foolishness in the eyes of the Lord. But those things can contribute. It's first of all and most importantly, we love God and we let the Lord God lead. In this great story, if any of you feel a little bit better about wisdom, amen?
Amen.
I think a lot of times wisdom just kind of gets put off to the side. We don't really understand that we're completely dependent upon the Lord God. It is His wisdom in our life that makes us wise and discerning and gives us the ability to move. You know, though, that even though we're followers of Christ, even though we're Christians, did you know that we don't always ask God for help? Is that you? A lot of times we just rely on our own strength, our own experience, don't we? Or we look to popular opinion, which, my friends in Christ Jesus, is flat out dangerous if it's not in accordance with God's will and with His word. There's a story in Scripture. And it's a story about how people were bringing children to Jesus. You probably recall the story as I shared it with you a little bit. And the people who were bringing their children to Jesus wanted Jesus to love them, to touch them, to encourage them. Well, guess what? The disciples didn't think that was a good idea. They decided to get in the way of that ministry that was coming to Jesus. And you know why they did? They didn't talk to Jesus. They didn't consult Christ as to what they should do. As to if this is wise or not. And I can tell you this, had they, he would have said, absolutely, let the children come to me. Even as in fact, he did. But my friends in Christ, when we lack wisdom, the heart and love of God, we don't care for people the way we should. We don't minister to people the way we should. We minister sometimes out of our own thinking and out of our own flesh. And you know what it is, my friends? It's all wood, it's all hay, and it's all stumble. But there's more to that little illustration that I didn't share with you. And I'm glad that there's more because thanks be to God, Jesus didn't say to all his disciples, you guys are fine. I don't want you anymore. Because you blew it. We all blew it. But yet Jesus Christ takes time for them. He coaches them up. He invests in them. So we seek His godly counsel first. And then love people the way He has shown His disciples in us how to love people. Let me share another example with you. Jesus Christ died. He rose from the dead. And now He's making post-Easter appearances. And one of these post-Easter appearances are the two disciples who are walking from Jerusalem to the road of Emmaus. Okay? Well, they didn't recognize Jesus at first. He kept them from recognizing Him. And He asked them, what are you talking about? Did you walk on the road? And they were confused. They were really confused. And they, at this particular time, were given to their own strength and their own thinking. They even made the comment that they thought Jesus was this great prophet and it's already been the third day and what's all happening? What's this all about? Where is He? And you know what they were doing? They weren't walking by faith anymore. They were walking by sight. And you know what Jesus Christ said to them? He said, how foolish you are and slow of heart to believe. You see, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of trust It's a matter of believing the word of God, knowing that God will come through and he'll explain to me, he'll explain to you what's going on in due time. If you are in life right now, you've got some heavy decisions to make, don't make them unless you consult God. Unless you talk to God. Spend time with him. Because nobody loves you and nobody wants to help you as much as he does. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Think about all the decisions we make. They were working out of yesterday's groceries. Father, I mean, well, we made this decision one time before, others made it the same way. Or maybe, God wants to do something fresh, wants to do something new. You got to remember, my friends and grandchildren, wisdom is not us telling God our plans. Wisdom is allowing God to tell us his plans, and that we would follow him, because we love him. The Bible says this, but continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. But continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. Anybody here this morning know everything there is to know about God? Anybody here this morning know everything there is to know about prayer? To know everything there is to know about intimacy? To know everything there is to know about the Word of God, the stories of God? And these things are written so that we might have life. Life in him. And that from his heart, he gives us at the same time. And he gives us wisdom for absolutely everything. Is this message working for anybody today? Amen.
Amen.
A little boy was really, really excited because he had just come out of Sunday school and he loved this particular Sunday school lesson. He said to his mom, "Mom, we had the very best lesson in Sunday school today." She said, "Well, tell me about it. What was it?" And the little boy said, "Well, it was all about asking God for everything, talking to God about everything, spending time with him, that he loves us and cares for us. It's about asking God for advice. And he's willing to hear me, and he's willing to listen to me." The mom said, "Wow, that sounded like a great Sunday school lesson." Then she asked a great question. She said, "How do you apply this to your life?" He said, "Well, to be honest with you, Mom, I already have." She said, "Well, how?" And he said, "Well, do you remember when we got up this morning and you talked to me about the day? You're talking about everything we're going to do today. And Mom, it was your suggestion that I do my homework in the middle of the day rather than wait till the end of the day, but I'm too tired and don't want to take the time to do that." She said, "Oh yeah, I remember. Well, Mom, don't be upset with me. I know that's what you said, but I'm going to talk to God. And I'm going to ask God what he thinks I should do my homework." His mother said, "Well, what did he say?" And he said, "Well, he thinks I should do my homework in the afternoon. Before it gets too late. And I get too tired, I don't have time or want to do it. He thinks I should do my homework in the afternoon. So Mom, I just want you to know, I'm going to do my homework in the afternoon. But not because you said so, but because God said so." That's not all bad. As long as we hear correctly, it's working. As long as we're not working it out of our own flesh. And then the little boy said this to his mom. "Mom, I do want to share something with you, though, and honestly." She said, "Okay, I really don't want to do my homework this afternoon. I really don't. But I'm going to do it because God is right and he's way, way smarter than me. You know what? I think that's wisdom. What do you say? Amen?
Amen.
I think that's wisdom. Because God is right. And he's way smarter than me. And it's my hope and my prayer for that little boy that he went from once in a while talking to God to sometimes talking to God to most of the time talking to God to hopefully all the time talking to God. And guess what God wants us to do as well? The very, very, very same thing. Can we spend time in a day any better than talking with God and asking God for help, for advice, for wisdom? And if he knows every single hair on our head, there's not a thing he doesn't care about and he can't direct us to and through. And we've got to believe that because that's God's heart for the people of us. Wisdom. It's a pretty good deal, isn't it? I want to read something to you from Psalm chapter 86. I just happened to have it marked today. This was written by a pretty wise guy. Talked about it a little bit this morning. His name is David, King David. Listen to what he writes in Psalm 86. He says, "Teach me your way, O Lord." He doesn't go to God and say, "God, I want you to see my way." He says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. And I will walk in your truth." He doesn't so much want God to come walk with him and what he thinks, but rather he would go and walk with God and how God directs. "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart." Anybody got a divided heart in here? It's a whole other circle. "Give me an undivided heart, that I might fear your name." Did you hear that? "That I might fear your name." What does fear mean? Revere, respect, submit. God first. We love God. "I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me." Maybe today, tomorrow, this week, you're going to have choices and decisions to make about what you say and you do. God wants us to be wise. God wants us to seek him first. Seek you first, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And as you do that day in and day out, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall more in love with God. You're going to get to know God more. And you're going to realize that your life is not about yourself. Yeah. But your life is about Jesus Christ and having been touched by him, how he uses you to touch others. My friends, you're going to say this in accordance with this nonfiction book, The Truth of God's Almighty Word. Amen?
Amen.
What would you choose? Worship team, come on up. Let's stand and pray. Praise you that you use people like David the sloth, that you use people like Saul the sloth, that you use people like us who are more. But we're covered. We're all covered through the life and the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we thank you for forgiveness and the promises of salvation, we thank you, Lord God, that you make us wise, as your word says, unto salvation. And that as we keep you first in every single area, oh God, how good it is for us, our families, and even for the people in this world where we live. God, I pray to open your heart that as long as all as laws are given to daily rigors of life, daily decisions that we sit before you. And each time we do that, Lord God, we're going to win. Because we're going to become more like you. Because our intimacy with you will grow. And our lives will be further marked by peace, by the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank and praise you that you didn't love us once in a while. That you didn't love us sometimes. That you didn't love us most of the time. But as you live, you love us all the time. Help us to love you all the time. Do your work in us through your word. And how we thank you for wisdom. How we thank you for you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ.